scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You can find these on pages 580 and 581 in your pew Bibles. Listen to the word of God. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Shall we pray? Grant, O God, that what we hear with our ears, understand with our minds, and receive with our hearts, we may show forth in our lives, and that what we have learned by your grace, we may use to your glory. Amen. I know of many families that have traditions during the Advent Christmas seasons that include taking the entire family to something like a stage production, like The Nutcracker, or to Dickens' A Christmas Carol that is shown annually down in the Cultural District. I recently learned about a charming verse story for children that was made into a musical a number of years back, but I haven't seen it shown in our area yet. It's a story that is about a moose who is determined that his family's Christmas will be perfectly perfect. In the book Mooseltoe, Moose shopped till he dropped, check, baked tons of tins of cookies, check, but in his haste he completely forgets to buy a Christmas tree. After a long, fruitless search in the snow on Christmas Eve, he finally has to do the heroic thing. He goes and he stands in the corner, acting as the Christmas tree himself. The kids tried to make the best of it. They said, "Oh, so who needs a tree?" But Moose could plainly see they were short on glee. I think the rhyming must be part of the amusement of the story. Sorry. All of us have holiday traditions, events, and goals we look forward to and plan for in this season of the year. And they increase our sense of anticipation, our sense of hope. But we can't assume that they happen without us doing something, without us taking some kind of action to make sure that the tickets are purchased or the event is scheduled, or we get together for this particular tradition. In the 7th century before Christ, Isaiah was proclaiming to the people of his day that hope for the world was coming soon. He described a time when God would rule and reign, and the world would enjoy true peace. He was speaking to a divided community. There was much pessimism in his day, much hopelessness in the world. The world was in a shambles and people lived in darkness. But things were about to change. So Isaiah urged people to hope rather than fear. This hope, however, required that they do something. It called them to participate in the promise that was given, the promise of future peace, by taking some kind of action. And the sooner the better, because failing to take action would delay the possibility of these more hopeful times that he spoke of. For instance, like Moose, you may have to stand in the corner and act like a Christmas tree if you forget to take action and go purchase a Christmas tree and bring it home and decorate it for the holidays. So I ask, how can we, in this season of the year, help to bring about Isaiah's vision of hope and peace? How can we help to make the reign of God a reality in our day and time and for the world we live in? What actions need to happen to make Isaiah's vision of a peaceful world come true? First, we need to listen. Listen to the word of God. Isaiah calls us to the mountain to receive instructions. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. In our world, there are far too many distractions and too much noise. It's like you really have to go up on top of a mountain to even hear what's being said. You have to get away from all the confusion and all the noise, to tune out what's going on around us and to tune in to the teachings of God, because we're always moving. We're always going to something. We're always changing the channels as fast as we can. I really wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but last Saturday, as Jane and I rode the megabus home from New York City, a student got on the bus in State College and sat across the aisle, just one row of seats ahead of us, so I could clearly see his smartphone that he was working on the entire ride, and I noticed he didn't remain on any one page for very long. With both thumbs, he jumped from one thing to the next, from media to game sites to photos to Facebook to whatever he was on. I tried not to pay too much attention to what exactly he was on because it made my eyes dizzy to try to keep up with him. He was moving so quickly. Perhaps we do the same thing at this time of the year. Perhaps we miss the coming of the kingdom of God because we're just too busy changing channels or jumping from one screen to the next or going from one event to another impatiently. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let us listen to the voice of God. Let us tune in and concentrate on the messages of the Lord and follow his instructions for living and for life. Second, peace becomes a reality when we participate in the process with our own hands. Listen to how Isaiah describes it. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, he wants us to exchange our weapons of war for garden tools. Those of you that are gardeners are happy to hear that, I'm sure. In other words, rather than use things that are harmful to others, we need to be planting seeds and tending those sprouts and cultivating the soil and harvesting their good crops. Basil Matthews was walking along a dusty street in an Arab village where he met a young, tall Arab boy playing a flute. He asked to see the flute, and it seemed surprisingly heavy to him, so he examined it closely and discovered it was made out of an old gun barrel. The boy explained how he picked up the gun in an area where there had been fierce fighting. He filed it down, he drilled holes in it, and from a weapon of destruction, he had created an instrument of music. That's Isaiah's vision. That's the kind of peaceful world Isaiah calls us to be a part of. Imagine how different our world would be if we could convert tanks to tractors, fighter jets to emergency ambulances, guns to musical instruments. It takes some creative hope and some envisioning of what the world could be. But God calls us to hammer away at those parts of our lives which are more like swords than like plowshares. A third thing Isaiah told his listeners to do is a simple phrase, but hard to do in practice, to walk in the light of the Lord. For me, to walk in the light of the Lord is only possible when I'm willing to submit to it, to move away from the darkness of sin. Do we really want peace? Do we really want God to rule and reign in us? That won't be possible until we give control of our lives to the Lord. The word Advent is derived from the Latin word adventure. To submit to the possibility of a peaceful world is an adventure, but it's an adventure that requires surrender, surrendering to our Maker, to our Redeemer, to our wonderful God. It is the willingness to walk where we've never walked, the desire to expose ourselves to the grace and truth and presence of God in this world. Remember how John put it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world was full of grace and truth? 2 weeks ago, the media made a circus of the brawl that occurred at the end of the Steelers and Browns game. A helmet was torn from our quarterback, those of you that somehow have been living in a cave for the last 2 weeks and you didn't see the video. What did you say, Bill? He said there's more video on that than there was on the Immaculate Conception, perhaps. Players were suspended. Teams were fined. One Browns player was indefinitely suspended for his behavior. But all the attention was on the players involved in this embarrassing scene. I didn't hear anyone mention the referees. I didn't hear anyone mention the security guards. I didn't hear anyone mention the players who intervened to try to stop this ruckus as it occurred. Thankfully, there were a few cooler heads keeping the peace, preventing this melee from escalating to an all-out war. Peace is possible when there are those who are willing to walk in the light. Those who don't believe violence is the answer to every human conflict or as a means to an end. And through Isaiah, God is calling us to be agents of peace. God calls us to beat our swords into plowshares and to follow his instruction as we go to the mountain of the Lord and listen. Many of you enjoy the story of the Nutcracker at Christmas time. I know of more than one little boy who really likes the scene where the mice fight the rats. It's one of the more popular with children, that particular scene. But I want to tell you that it's only staged violence. It's not the real thing. It's only a dream, the dream of a little girl who for a while escapes this world to a world of make-believe. To live in a world of peace might seem like a fantasy to you and me, like it's only make-believe. Nevertheless, Isaiah says we are to walk in the light. As people of faith, we're called to try and live at peace. So come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. I invite all of you to